It's Wednesday, June 23rd. I'm your host, Izzy Ross. Across the Nooshigak, crews are waiting with bated breath for their first opener, which could come as soon as tomorrow. Stock composition numbers from Port Muller show most fish still headed to that district. Igigik had another haul yesterday, and there were smaller catches from Togiak and the Naknek Kwijak. The total run for Bristol Bay is nearing 600,000 fish, double what it was a few days ago. Coming up tonight, the state of Alaska is moving closer to a government shutdown as the legislature and governor try to settle on a budget before July 1st.
The closest it ever got was it resolved like 9 days before or 8 days before. So we're closer than we've ever been before.
We look at what might happen to Bristol Bay's fishery if the state shuts down. Walrus are hauling out near Ugashik's fishing district. We hear more about the elusive pinnipeds in the area.
You know, sometimes you'll go down there and they're not there, and they won't be there for 2-3 days. But then they'll just, you'll go down there for whatever reason, there they are.
And some stormy weather reached Bristol Bay today.
We have a unusually deep storm for summertime. Winds are going to be at their maximum during the day on Wednesday, but will only slowly diminish.
Those conversations and more on tonight's Fish Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Let's take a look at the numbers. We're halfway through the first week of the report, so along with the daily numbers, we're going to take a look at the fish and game forecast for the 2021 season. The total run for Bristol Bay is nearing 600,000 fish, double what it was a few days ago. An estimated 51 million sockeye are projected to return to the bay this season. As runs pick up around the bay, the Nooshigak District is still waiting to fish. That first opener might come as soon as tomorrow. The Igigik District has seen the biggest run so far, and the biggest harvest. The Naknek Kwijak runs are beginning to trickle in, though the harvest is still pretty low there. We're still waiting on Ugashik numbers, and the Togiak fleet has also started to harvest fish. Let's break those numbers down by district. On Tuesday, the Nooshigak District saw 9,600 fish for a total of 110,500. Both the set netters and drift fleet could fish as early as Thursday. Managers say they intend to wait and allow for as much king salmon passage as possible, but the fleet should still be ready to fish on short notice. Fish and Game forecasts a run of nearly 15 million sockeye to the district. Half of those are expected to return to the Wood, 1 million to the Igushik, and nearly 6 million to the Nooshigak River. Yesterday, the total sonar count up the Nooshigak River climbed to over 90,000. The sonar counted 4,300 sockeye. The sonar counted about 300 kings, with a total king count coming to 5,600. Management biologist Tim Sand says subsistence catches have been increasing and people have been catching a lot of kings. The current total for the Wood River escapement is 40,000 through 10 a.m. today. Yesterday, the tower counted almost 5,400 fish. Around the same number of fish swam up in just 6 hours this morning, between midnight and 6 a.m. today. 4,900 fish swam upriver. The forecast calls for nearly 8 million fish to escape up the Wood River. The Togiak fleet caught 600 fish with a total harvest of 1,200. Togiak is forecasted to see a run of slightly under 1 million sockeye this season. Heading over to the east side in the Naknek Kwijak district, 330 fish escaped for a total of nearly 1,000 fish so far this season. Harvest numbers are as follows. Just over 500 fish were caught yesterday for a total of 700 fish harvested so far this season. The total runs for the Naknek Kwijak district are forecast to come in at just above 17 million fish. The Kwijak River is expected to see just over 6 million fish this season, and the Naknek's forecast is at just over 7 million. The Alagnek River is projected to see just under 4 million sockeye. In Igigik, the fleet harvested again yesterday, bringing in 111,000 fish. The season total harvest is about 246,000. Igigik's forecast is at 11 million fish. Escapement for the river is up to 153,000. Escapement on Tuesday was around 68,000. Still no numbers for the Ugashik district. The forecast there is at 6.6 million sockeye. Over to the Chignik Weir, 11,000 salmon ran the weir yesterday. No salmon have passed the weir so far today. The total run for the season is at 81,000. The Chignik's 2021 forecast is the lowest on record, 437,000 fish for the early run and 438 fish for the late run. Now we'll head over to Area M. On Tuesday, over 100 kings were harvested, bringing the season total to nearly 2,000. Sockeye harvests were over 200,000, with a season total of nearly 2.7 million. Pinks were around 260,000, and nearly 77,000 chums were harvested, bringing the total to about 600,000. At the Port Muller test fishery, catches were stronger yesterday, particularly at the outer stations, according to an update from scientist Scott Rayborn. He noted that unfavorable weather at Port Muller will probably decrease catches today, but he's optimistic about fishing tomorrow. On to the numbers. Station 2 caught no fish. That catch index was, of course, zero. Station 4 caught 5 fish in the 4.5-inch mesh and 7 in the 5 1/8. The catch index was 26. Station 6 caught 25 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 27 in the 5 1/8. The catch index was 89. Station 8 caught 39 fish in the 4.5-inch mesh and 8 in the 5 1/8. The catch index is 94. Station 10 caught 28 fish in the 4.5-inch mesh and 28 in the 5 1/8. The catch index is 112. Station 12 caught 28 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 0 in the 5 1/8. The catch index there is 76. Station 14 caught 37 in the 4 1/2-inch mesh and 35 in the 5 1/8. It had a catch index of 160. Station 16 caught 27 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 15 in the 5 1/8. It had a catch index of 120. Station 18 caught 5 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 18 in the 5 1/8. The catch index is 69. Station 20 caught 28 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 27 in the 5 1/8. The catch index is 110. Finally, Station 22 caught 30 fish in the 4 1/2-inch mesh and 28 in the 5 1/8. The catch index is 6. The third stock composition from June 19th through the 20th was released today. Samples were taken from fish at all stations. The Nooshigak River stock is still dominant. 42% of the fish sampled were headed there, while another 20% were swimming to the Wood River. Fish going to the Nooshigak district made up 63% of this estimate. Agagic will see 21% of the fish sampled. Naknek-Quejack district will see 10%. Just 0.5% were going to the Naknek River, and 8% were gunning for the Quejack. 1% of the fish were headed toward the Ugashik, 1% to the Kuskokwim, 0.5% to the Agushik, and just 0.1% to Togiak. Looking at permit registrations, as of 9 a.m. this morning, there are 542 boats fishing around the bay, 143 of which are D boats. That bumps up to 630 boats and 167 D boats on Friday. Let's take a look at where those boats are and where they're going. Agagic has the most boats right now. 262 boats are fishing there. 87 of those are D boats. On Friday morning, that will increase to 273 boats and 89 D boats. The Nooshigak hasn't seen an opener yet, but that's not stopping people from registering in the district. 177 boats are waiting to fish, and 39 of those are D boats. On Friday, that will increase to 250 boats, 61 of which will be D boats. From there, registrations drop off. In the Naknek-Quejack, 62 boats are registered, 4 of which are D-boats. On Friday, that will increase just a bit to 65 vessels, 5 of which will be D-boats. There are 22 boats in the Ugashik, 13 of those are D-boats. Ugashik will gain just 1 D-boat on Friday. Finally, in Togiak, 19 boats are fishing. 1 boat will join that fleet on Friday, bringing Togiak's total to 20. As we get into vessel and permit registration, we wanted to take a moment to remind everyone of what a D-boat was.
Most boats fish under only one permit and can fish with 150 fathoms or 900 feet of gear. A D-boat is a boat that has two permit holders, which allows them to fish with 50 fathoms of extra gear, making 200 fathoms or about 1,200 feet. That doesn't mean one person can have two permits. There have to be two permit holders fishing on the boat. A fisherman friend who captains a D-boat told me permit stacking helps get gear out of the water and has the advantage of letting people fishing D-boats legally fish with and carry more gear on their boats. He says that fishing with those extra 50 fathoms of gear increases his production by a quarter. D-boats are not allowed to fish in the Togiak District or in special harvest areas.
That was Fish Report alumna Sage Smiley reminding everyone what a D-boat was. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Support comes from Bristol Bay Brailer, thanking customers for purchasing brailers, slush bags, net bags, and upholstery from a local family-owned company. Measuring and building gear for a perfect fit. Orders at 907-469-0782 or bristolbaybrailer.com.
Welcome back and on to the rest of the show after that dive into the numbers. If Alaska's state leaders can't resolve an impasse over the budget, large swaths of state government will shut down in July. Some of you will remember Fish Report alumna Sage Smiley. She's a reporter at KSTK in Wrangell now. She reports that a shutdown could include Alaska's lucrative summer salmon fisheries, which is causing concern across coastal communities.
Southeast Alaska's summer salmon troll fishery opens July 1st. That's the same day nearly 15,000 state workers could be out of work. Among those is Grant Hagerman, a state fisheries biologist managing the fishery from Sitka.
Honestly, we're planning not to be here unless we hear differently on July 1. And with that, that summer fishery does not commence.
Many of Alaska's fisheries are operated by emergency order. That means fisheries open and closed based on real-time data and biologists like Hagerman's professional judgment. But he's not part of the special class that will keep public safety officials like the Alaska State Troopers on the job.
You'd think that, you know, we would have had a message maybe from, you know, administration from wherever just saying that here are, you know, the exempt or partially exempt or, you know, whatever job classes that could remain open. But we didn't get anything like that. I think it's just pink slips across the board if they don't pass. So it's really scary, you know, not just for us losing our jobs, but I mean, we manage a fishery with 1,000 permit holders in Southeast. So it affects a lot of people. So I have faith that they'll get something agreed to.
Even at the top of the ladder, agency leaders say they don't have many answers. Rick Green, a special assistant to the commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, says this is the closest his agency has come to actually shutting down.
We, as a state, are on uncharted ground because I think last time the closest it ever got was it resolved like 9 days before or 8 days before. So we're closer than we've ever been before.
Green says the department is operating with the hope that the budget discussion will be resolved before that deadline.
It's a big question, but it's one that we're not addressing, and we're hoping with best intent that this comes to a resolve and we don't have to change anything.
This lack of clarity is stressful for everyone in the industry, says Amy Daugherty, executive director of the Alaska Trollers Association.
Many of our guys head out of town in preparation for the July 1st opening a few days in advance, obviously. And we're coming right up on that within the next few days. So, you know, this is incredible that we're going to be so directly impacted by these huge decisions, which, you know, are way over our head.
Ketchikan Representative Dan Ortez, an independent, says he and most of his legislative peers understand the gravity of the situation.
Any kind of commercial fishing where it requires management, on-site management of the department, is in jeopardy.
The main sticking point, he says, was a procedural vote in which four Republican House members refused to set the effective date of the budget to July 1st. It's part of a larger battle over the size of the permanent fund dividend checks for Alaskans.
And so therefore, we are where we are. We all are aware that, you know, if we don't get that thing done, or if we can convince the governor that he doesn't have to have it done in order for him to enact the budget, either of those two things would prevent a government shutdown.
The economic impact of shutting down Alaska's lucrative commercial salmon season would be huge, especially in places like Bristol Bay, which peaks in July. Dan Lesh, a Juneau-based fisheries consultant with McKinley Research, looked at the value of salmon landed over the past 5 years. He says that on average, about $316 million worth of salmon is typically taken in the month of July alone.
Over 50%, 52% over the last 5 years of the value of our overall salmon harvest for the year was in the month of July, and that's valued to the fishermen.
And even if state workers go back to work just a week or so late, the damage could be done. That's because most salmon species are heading towards rivers and streams. It's not possible for the fishing fleet to get a second chance for intercepting a lot of them.
The only species that might be able to make up harvest would be king salmon. The other fisheries are all timed to runs that are, as the fish are entering spawning habitat. They're not available for harvest later on in the summer.
The potential $316 million loss in payments to fishermen doesn't include the possible impacts to seafood processors and other shoreside support for Alaska's commercial fleet. With additional reporting by KDLG's Izzy Ross in Dillingham and Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick in Juneau, I'm Sage Smiley in Wrangell.
For more on Fish and Game's approach over the next few days, I talked to Rick Green, Special Assistant to Fish and Game's Commissioner.
To the question of what happens if a shutdown occurs, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is operating as if this is going to get resolved before the deadline and keep all of our infrastructure operating. And if we go beyond that, we're going to seek guidance from the administration to see what we do next.
Has the department had to deal with budget discussions right ahead of the deadline before?
We, as a state, are on uncharted ground because I think last time the closest it ever got was it resolved like 9 days before or 8 days before. So we're closer than we've ever been before.
Obviously, with a fishery like Bristol Bay where there's a lot of in-season management, really hands-on for the state managers in terms of opening and closing the fishery and just making everything happen. Do you have any sense of what would happen if the state did shut down?
No, I really don't. It would come down to a decision by the administration on what they wanted. You know, we have a lot of partners out in Bristol Bay that make it a little unique than other parts. And so, yeah, I mean, It's a big question, but it's one that we're not addressing, and we're hoping with best intent that this comes to a resolve and we don't have to change anything.
You mentioned that Bristol Bay is unique. What is the difference for, you know, Bristol Bay and then for other state fisheries that are looking to operate this summer? How is the department approaching that?
You know, some of our infrastructure we have to keep track of the runs and the fish are done with some of what our partners out there and not necessarily by funding by us. It's just, you know, each part of the state is unique unto itself and how it runs. And so there's really not one blanket answer. I mean, if it does come down to where a budget's not passed, there's probably not one blanket answer that will answer everything for all areas of the state.
Is there anything that you'd hope from the administration if the state shut down for fisheries?
I don't know. They're going to have to decide what's essential and what's not. And we're just hoping that it resolves and those decisions aren't going to have to be made.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather since my man and I ain't together.
Some stormy weather hit Bristol Bay today. I learned from climate specialist Rick Toman with the University of Alaska Fairbanks that such storms are unusual for this time of year. Thanks so much for talking today. I know we were scheduled to talk tomorrow, but obviously we're not going to wait to talk about the weather that we're seeing right now. It's quite windy and rainy in Dillingham. What are things looking like in other parts of Bristol Bay?
So, Izzy, we have an unusually deep storm for summertime. We have a storm south of King Cove right now that's going to cross the Alaska Peninsula, move into southeast Bering Sea, and wind up near Unalaska on Thursday afternoon. because this storm is unusually deep for this time of year, and we've got high pressure across north central mainland Alaska, that's fueling these unusually strong winds for this time of year. Winds are going to be at their maximum during the day on Wednesday, but will only slowly diminish as that low gradually weakens. So unusually windy and wet period here for all of Bristol Bay for the next few days.
When are those winds expected to diminish?
They should really start to diminish significantly on Thursday. They'll be not quite as strong in most places tonight as they were during the day, but there should be a noticeable difference on Thursday and some diminishment more on Friday.
When you say deep storm, what does that mean? What is a deep storm?
So when we say a deep storm, we're just referring to the lowest pressure in the storm. If this was December and we saw a storm of this magnitude, it would be no big deal. It happened all the time. But storms are typically not as deep. That is to say, the pressure is not as low in these systems in the summertime, because these are systems that really feed on the contrast between warm air and cold air. And that contrast is just much less in the summertime, of course. So while by winter standards, this would not be a strong storm, for summer, it is notable.
Are there any things that people should do while they wait out this storm in terms of safety?
Well, certainly in this case, you know, it's not going to just blow through in an hour or two. So we have a good 24 hours of this to deal with. So buckle down in, with that kind of duration in mind. And as winds gradually diminish on Thursday, then typical activities should resume. Not going to be calm. The storm is just kind of sitting and spinning near Dutch Harbor for a couple days, but not as intense as today.
And are we going to see residual winds and rough waters once the storm moves down to Dutch Harbor?
Things will gradually improve, and we'll probably get a couple day break, but there looks like there's a potential for yet another storm as we go into the early to mid part of next week. So certainly do not see any kind of big, warm, high pressure building across the Bristol Bay region anytime in the known future.
Rick, thank you so much for taking a couple minutes to break that down.
You bet.
Walruses are hauling out at Cape Gregg on the northern side of Ugashik's commercial fishing district. The rotund pinnipeds just recently started to use the Cape as a haul-out spot. The first time in recent history was in 2016. When they do, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game pushes Ugashik's northern boundary about half a mile to the south to allow space for the protected marine mammal. The change does require an adjustment for fishermen in the area, but Aaron Tiernan, the Igigik and Ugashik area biologist, has not seen much pushback from local fishermen. In the past, staff have heard upwards of 8,000 walruses on this particular beach, but this year the estimate is about half.
You know, sometimes you'll go down there and they're not there, and they won't be there for 2-3 days. But then you'll go down there for whatever reason, there they are.
Tiernan says the walruses are definitely back this year. Biologists think there might be a clam bed off Cape Gregg that the walruses are attracted to. Walrus haul-out and boundary adjustment aside, Tiernan anticipates a good sockeye run to the Ugashik this season.
Support comes from Bristol Bay Brailer, thanking customers for purchasing brailers, slush bags, net bags, and upholstery from a local family-owned company. Measuring and building gear for a perfect fit. Orders at 907-469-0782 or bristolbaybrailer.com.
What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that Washington never told a lie. I learned that soldiers seldom die. I learned that everybody's free. And
that's all for tonight's show. We're going to take a look at the marine weather forecast in Bristol Bay tonight. There is a small craft advisory. Tonight, southeast wind 30 knots, seas at 7 feet. On Thursday, east wind at 20 knots, seas at 4 feet. And Thursday night, east wind 25 knots, seas at 5 feet and rain. In the marine weather forecast, from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, a small craft advisory there as well. An east wind at 20 knots, seas at 10 feet. Thursday, an east wind at 20 knots, seas at 7 feet, and Thursday night, an east wind, 20 knots, seas at 5 feet. In the tidal forecast at Nooshigak at Clark's Point, low tide at 8:39 p.m. at negative 3 feet. In the tidal forecast for the Naknek River entrance, low tide at 9:08 p.m. at negative 3 feet. And at the Igigik River entrance, low tide at 7:29 p.m. at negative 3 feet. In messages to the fleet, Ty Babb on board with Brad Ingeson, missing you on coast of Maine, sending birthday wishes, Mom. From Esperanza, this goes out to the badass fishing vessel Crawdad with all strong women, wishing you a great season from Laika and Zorro on the coast of Maine. Thank you. A few people called in with messages, too.
Just wanted to say hi to Maiken on the Deborah and hope that she has a good, safe, fun season in the bay. And I miss you a lot, and have fun.
That was from Sparky. And this one's from Captain Kate.
To Rubus on the Wolverine from the Red Dog crew in Ugashik. We hope you're having a good season so far. Are you still swimming laps around the Wolverine? ? Be safe. Say hi to your dad, Captain Kate.
We love hearing from you, so keep those messages coming. If you'd like to get in touch or give perspective, give us a call at 907-842-2200 or 907-842-5281. You can also send an email with a message to fish@kdlg.org. And that's for anything. If you'd like to get a message out to the fleet, to say back hi from back home, or wish anyone luck, send your messages to the fleet, to fish@kdlg.org, or give us a call. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible with generous support from our underwriters and individual contributions from you, the fishing fleet. We appreciate it. That is all for the show. I'm Izzy Ross. Good night, good fishing, and see you back here tomorrow.